You're listening to the Agony Column News Report, featuring interviews, phone interviews, reports from live book events and festivals, and conversations with readers. You can find additional news, interviews, book reviews, and more 5 days a week at the Agony Column website at trashotron.com/agony. Science fiction literature is often quite rightly accused of being a juvenile. It is a young genre. It should come as no surprise that some of the best science fiction, then, is intended for a juvenile or adolescent audience. Forced to rein in their excesses, science fiction writers seem to find liberation in the limitations of young adult fiction. Current and classic writers have done their best work when trying to capture the imagination and attention of restless, rebellious teenagers. Stripped down to the basics, science fiction is a can-do form of literature. As John Clute, the science fiction critic, put it, the message is, we can fix it. Three novels, one classic, two recent, exemplify the can-do spirit of empowerment that engages not only teenage minds, but adults as well. Robert Heinlein began his writing career for the pulps, but he didn't want to confine himself to that low-paying market. After his return from civilian service for the Navy in World War II, he decided to follow the model of his literary mentor, Mark Twain, and write stories for boys and girls, starting with Rocket Ship Galileo, 1947, through Pod Cane of Mars, 1962. The resulting books are some of his best writing. Favorites vary, but Have Spacesuit Will Travel, from 1958, still holds up well 50 years later in a 21st century that has left the science of the last century far behind. Kip Russell, a senior in high school, enters a contest and fails to win a trip to the moon, but gets the consolation prize instead, a working spacesuit. When he uses the technology he literally surrounds himself with, he finds out that he's able to communicate with aliens and soon ends up headed to the moon and beyond. Heinlein's science is often past its expiration date, but his sense of adventure is timeless. Kip is confronted with problems and solves them with ingenuity and persistence. Readers are afforded a glimpse of the spirit that literally inspired America's space program of the 1960s and 70s, even through today's space shuttle. Heinlein is still able to tap into our latent ability to look up in wonder, no matter what our age. Cory Doctorow taps into a different spirit in his latest novel, Little Brother. Marcus Yalow, who calls himself W1N5TON, that is, Winston, uses his computer geek tech savvy to avoid the omnipresent surveillance at his day-after-tomorrow Northern California high school. Unfortunately for Marcus and his three friends, they're at liberty when terrorists blow up the Bay Bridge. In the ensuing chaos, one of the kids is hurt and they mistakenly flag down a Homeland Security truck, which whisks them away to a gitmo by the bay, where they're tortured and warned not to talk about it upon release. Doctorow then unleashes a healthy strain of stick-it-to-the-man teen rebellion, informed by the erosion of our civil liberties and high-tech how-tos. Adults and rebellious teens will actually find themselves enthralled by a novel that uses the Declaration of Independence and cryptography as plot points. Doctorow goes for the throat of those who purport to offer security in lieu of liberty, but are so inept in their security measures that they can be undermined by a flash mob of wily teenagers. Revenge is served up red hot and proves to be entirely satisfying in this ripping techno yarn. Girls don't just want to have fun. They want to be more than the holy grail for a race of alien creatures. That's just one of the problems confronting Zoe Bouton Perry in Zoe's Tale by John Scalzi. Scalzi's novel is told from the perspective of an adolescent girl who finds herself plopped down on an alien world as part of a rough-and-tumble colonization effort by humans under siege from a variety of aliens who hope to stake a claim on the same real estate. Her sense of righteous indignation is involving and invigorating. I'm tired, she writes in the novel. Every morning I wake up and I have to run or do strength exercises or something that tires me out. Then an entire afternoon of getting physically beat up in order to learn how to defend myself on the chance that some aliens want to come down here and kill us all. Scalzi keeps the action in the foreground and the anger on a hot simmer. It's not abstract, Dad. You're talking to a girl whose life is a treaty point. I know what it means to be valued for what I am rather than who I am. As Scalzi sets up the targets, Zoe takes them out with the ruthless vigor of a motivated teenage girl. She truly comes to life, and readers will feel invigorated as well. You know, sure, science fiction has grown up and provided some more mature works in the decades since Heinlein first fitted Kip Russell with a spacesuit. but it's refined as well as retained that spirit of youthful joy, the idea that, yes, indeed, we can fix it. You're listening to the Agony Column News Report, featuring interviews, phone interviews, reports from live book events and festivals, and conversations with readers. You can find additional news, interviews, book reviews, and more 5 days a week at the Agony Column website at trashotron.com/agony.